good to kind of double check what people say, you know. Don't just kind of take their word for it. But if you bring your Bible, you take notes. Not that everything I say is going to be that enlightening, but God's word is. And if you are a diligent student, you write it down, you listen, you hear it, you speak it, you read it, you know, all those things, it begins to become part of you. So that's important stuff. But hey, last week we prayed for the persecuted church. And I know we had, I meant to advertise it last week, but we had some sheets of prayer, like I think the 40 top countries in the world where persecution runs the highest against believers. People that are dying for their faith, literally. And I had some sheets printed up, and I don't know, Dolly, are those in the back on that table, some sheets for the persecuted church? You see them anywhere? Okay. We do have sheets for the persecuted church? No, it's not a sign-up sheet. It's like for the churches, like that, okay, we've got them in the back. That's cool. So if you want one of those, they're free. Just take one. If you'll pray. And pray for the believers around the world that are suffering in the name of Christ. And before that, we started talking about the parables of Jesus Christ. And today I want to talk to you about two more parables of Christ. A parable is just an illustration, a word story that parallels a deeper meaning, a spiritual truth. And that's why Jesus talked in those very often, because he wanted people to really understand through something they could relate to the meaning of what he was saying, because it was life or death for most people. And how many of us know today that Christ will allow us to get as deep in him as we're willing to pursue? Do you know that? I hope you know that. He is not a one-dimensional God. He's not a Facebook Jesus. He's everywhere all the time. And the thing is that if we really pull into Jesus, we have a Bible study we do on Thursday nights called Drawing Near, and it's too late to join if you're not part of that. But there's a verse in the Bible, James 4:8, our banner verse, that says, if you will draw near to God, he will draw near to you. That's a guarantee. That's a promise. That's a God promise. You draw near. But you notice the first step is you draw near. God says, I'm waiting for you. Don't worry. I'll be here, open arms. But you have to look at least like you're interested. And then I'm already interested. And we learn in drawing near that we control the level of our intimacy with God, not him. We're in control of the intimacy amount with Jesus Christ. He should be our best friend, our closest brother. He should be our confidant. He should be our advocate. He's the one we need to go to all the time, because he'll never turn us away. He'll never laugh at you. He'll never make fun of you and say what you're thinking is stupid, like even some of our best friends might do. But he'll always receive you with this 4th of December. You saw on the announcement, we're going to be having our communion supper. Now, we did it last year about this time. Fantastic. How many were here for that last year? Just see a few hands. Well, not that many. Gee, that's because it's an international church. fantastic time. We decorated up, saw candlelit, big table with all this stuff on it. I mean, fruit, bread, candles, all kinds of cool looking stuff. And a very intimate night of getting together. You know, Jesus at the Last Supper, they actually had food. They didn't pop a little biscuit and hit this little, you know, Mickey Mouse thing of fake wine. They had a meal together. They broke bread together, you know. They actually ate together. Yes, Jesus had an appetite. I don't think he ate at McDonald's much, but he had an appetite. And he that's where he announced to his followers what was going to happen about the cross. And they didn't understand it at the time. And I don't know about you, but before I knew Jesus, I didn't understand how this thing worked. I just thought about church, and I thought, pooh, who needs that? You know? Like maybe some of you are sitting here. I'm like, this is going nowhere for me. I didn't see any life in it. And when Jesus was explaining that to his followers, you know, they didn't understand. What? You're going to die? It doesn't make sense. You're going to raise again? What is this stuff talking about? You're crazy. But then once you know Jesus, you understand. And this communion supper is about us giving thanks, because if you know Jesus, you understand. And so it's a way for us to minister to one another as we come together over a great meal. And you have to sign up. By the way, how many of you got our Punch Bowl invitations by email already? Not very many. You know why? Because some of you don't like to fill out the visitor cards. Hello. Hello. We use email, and I'm not a psychic, thank God. And I can't know what you're doing, I can't put thoughts in your head. So if you want information from us, you've got to cooperate. We won't come knocking on your door. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Don't worry. We're not going to do anything weird. And if you tell us, we'll remove your name. We don't care. But you won't find out stuff if we don't know how to get hold of you. Okay? And Matt's not going to ride around his bike all day looking for your house. So that's not going to happen either. So fill out a visitor card if you care about anything that goes on here, okay? It's a little push for that. But that night, you know, we'll be doing that, and people will be allowed to stand and just share, here's what Christ has done for me. Let me tell you what he did last week. Or I prayed for my mother for 10 years, and she just recently came to know Christ. I mean, you hear these stories, you go, wow. It's a great time of us ministering to one another in the blood of Jesus. You know, just encouraging one another around a great meal. It's a great evening. So I would say you need to come. Honestly, we only have room for maybe 60 people. So first come, first serve. But you can go to the website as well. If you didn't get an email because you didn't fill out a visit card, you go to the website, and under events, there's a link there for the potluck thing. It's called Punch Bowl. And just go all the way through that. Don't stop with signing your name. There's also a food list and stuff. And you can bring, here's the key. The first people that sign up for this, guess what? You're the guys that get to bring the drinks and the bread. Because there's only so many slots. And then after that, you have to actually cook something. So I'm just warning you. Okay. So that's that. I like spicy food. Is that not right? I love it when the laws call me and say, hey, we're going to have some great Indian food. You want to come? And I'm like, yeah, how quick can I come? Can I come now? I mean, I'll be right there. I love spicy food. Anyone else like that? Oh, good. I'm around spice lovers. Thai, Indonesian, Surinamese. We don't have that here much down the south. Mexican. That doesn't work here either. But great stuff if you get the real thing. And salt. Any salt lovers? Isn't that great? I love the potato chips that are the sea salt ones. Oh, see? You're tracking with me. Yeah. Salt. I love salt. Saline, sodium, whatever you want to call it. Salt just seems to bring out flavors and stuff, you know? You got to have a little salt in there. In the old days, salt was used as a preservative. Because they were trying to keep meat and things. Of course, it would go rotten. And so salt was one of those things that they could use that would cut down the bacteria. Because once bacteria hits meat, it multiplies like crazy. And then, of course, it goes bad. And salt, you know, the funny thing about salt won't reverse the damage, but it will stay the damage. It will keep something from becoming rotten or from decaying. Because of bacteria. Hey, here's a little thing on bacteria. Did you know, how many of you like to go to the movies, the bioscope movie? Yeah. Do you know on each movie seat that you sit on? No? No? Can I come over and tell you? There's at least five different kinds of bacteria on that. Yeah. And the phones, like pay phones, let's see, what's that one? Oh, the bacteria that causes acne. Payphones, okay. Locker room floors, gyms, shower rooms. Seven different kinds of bacteria are there that are able to deteriorate flesh, such as your feet. So just a little encouraging thing about bacteria, our friend, right? But salt keeps bacteria from growing. God, in turn, has called us to be salty as believers, to keep the decay or the bacteria of this world from spreading through our obedience to his word and through our open faith. The only problem with salt is this. Salt can lose its saltiness, its salineness, if you're a chemist. It can lose its ability to cure. It just becomes white. It just isn't salty anymore. That's the problem with it. Its cleansing, preservative, and savory effect can be destroyed. It becomes stale or diluted. When it's exposed to the elements, it really becomes quite worth nothing. Maybe to be thrown out for the snow trucks. In Genesis 19, Sodom and Gomorrah, remember the story of Lot's wife. Now, why did she, you ever wonder, why didn't she turn to a pillar of pepper? Or sambal or something? But she turned to a pillar of salt. Remember when Lot was instructed, he said, okay, you guys got to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm getting ready to pass judgment. I'm going to destroy this place. And he told him, he said, when you leave, don't look back. Of course, what did she do? She looked back. Why did she look back? She looked back because, see, you could remove Lot's wife out of Sodom, but you couldn't remove Sodom out of Lot's wife. Lot's wife was enamored, in love with the compromise of Sodom. And God turned her to a pillar of salt to exemplify, here is salt that has lost its savor. Here is salt that is no longer a preservative, that is no longer an influence. It's just a pillar of salt. Colossians 4:6 says this. It says, it's not on the screen. It says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You know, as believers, this is not a surprise for some of us, as believers, we cannot do what the world does. See, this was the problem with Lot's wife. She yearned for Sodom. Of course, if you know anything about Sodom and Gomorrah, it was the most foul place on the face of the earth. That's why God destroyed it. I mean, the men that came to the door, when God sent the angels there to Lot's family, the men that came to the door, even wanted to have sex with the angels. That's how foul this place was. So God destroyed it, but Lot's wife had a problem with the world. See, God has called us to this ministry, and I've been saying that lately, I'm going to say it again. We all, if we know Jesus, we are in ministry. And God has called us to a ministry of a higher standard, not a ministry of a low standard. God has called us to something different. If we know Jesus, God wants to use us and has gifted us for different ways and different things. You know what? If we want to be a believer and we're not willing to separate ourselves from the decay, the bacteria of sin that's around us by being the salt that he intended us to be, then we should do God a favor. And we shouldn't tell anyone we're a believer in Jesus Christ. Because unless we can be different, then we're doing more destruction to those that need to see that there is a change, that Christ does have an answer. Some Christians, I think, need to say private Christians, which is really a bit of an oxymoron because there is no such thing. Because the Bible says we're ashamed of him before men, he'll be ashamed of us before his Father in heaven. So,
you know,
Lot's wife was trampled by the very things that she loved the most. The rebellion, the pleasure of Sodom, Gomorrah, complacency and compromise. Likewise, if our salt loses its saltiness, then we lose our influence in this world. And here's the deal. Jesus is coming again. Now, we haven't talked about the second coming much or about the rapture, which we're not going to talk about today. So if that's a question mark for you, then you just need to keep coming and find out. But Jesus is going to come back. I said rapture, not rupture. That's a different thing. Jesus is going to come back for his church. a second time. And this time, not as the lamb, but as the lion. As the victorious lion of Judah, not the Lamb of God. And we must be aware that when he returns for his church, he will again pass judgment on those who will say, sure, I'm a believer. I bet if you went up to Lot's wife before she turned to salt, of course, and you say, hey, are you a God follower? She goes, sure, I'm a believer. But you know what? Her life didn't show it. Because talk can be cheap. And we can say things with our lips and our hearts can be far from him. But he's going to come again to pass judgment on those who will say, sure, I'm a believer. But then their saltiness has been corrupted by having been too much in the world and still in the world. You know what I'm saying? Instead of in the world and not of this world, in the world and of the world. Lot's wife stands as a reminder that God is not playing around and that one day everyone will have to give an account for their life. I don't say that as a downer. It's just the truth. It's just the fact, and it's in the Bible. And we need to live our life like that in such a way that we understand that. The very first parable that Jesus spoke came on the heels of the Sermon on the Mount. And so just maybe that shows how important that Jesus is. And here's the next thing I want you to hear. Maybe shows you how important that is. In Matthew 5:13, I think you have it on the screen. It says, if you are the salt of the earth, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. I like the way, before we go to that, I like the way that starts. Actually, do you have the message version of it? Do you have the message version? Yeah, that's it. Let me tell you why you are here. It says, you're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. It says, let me tell you why you're here. I like the way that starts. He's saying, let's just get this clear. Here's why you're hanging around. Here's why you're alive today. See, if all this Christ follower stuff was just about going to heaven, then God would just say, boom, let's go, boom, and take you. The minute you were to come in here or wherever and say, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me, make me a new person, I believe you died for me, save me. The minute you would do that in a minute, you would just like, where'd they go? God would just take you. You'd be vaporized. You'd be in his presence immediately. He would take us straight to heaven. But God has put us in this world at this point in time. He says, let me tell you why you're here. To be salty. A preserving agent. A tenderizer, if you will, of men's souls. Of course, unless we lose our saltiness. A tenderizer of men's souls. And you know, the things we speak to people, you may think are insignificant, but they are powerful. The Bible says that some water, talking about the harvest, and he's talking about harvesting men's souls, the eternal part of us. He said, some water the seed, some weed it, you know, some plant it, some water it, but he says only the Holy Spirit gets the increase. Only God gets the increase. But you never know what you're saying to someone that can make a difference down the road. Little things can make a big difference. I don't know about you, but before I became a believer, I had people saying things into me all the time. And at first, I just was like, it was like mosquitoes. You know, you're just trying to knock them away, you know? It seemed almost an irritation. But after a while, I began to listen and said, you know, that's true. It began to make sense, even though I wouldn't have admitted it at the moment. It began to make sense to me. And secretly in my heart, the Holy Spirit was beginning to work. And he was tenderizing with the salt of those people's words. It was tenderizing my heart so that I could be open for the next step. So you never know. That's why we all have a ministry. You never know that what you say, how significant it is to someone's life and for their eternity. You don't know what part you play, whether it be small or big. Not everyone gets a microphone and a stage and goes to Africa and sees 50,000 people come to Christ in one meeting. Some of us just get to be a little salty here and there. and make a difference little by little in people's lives. He calls us the light of the world, you know. And matter of fact, Colossians 4, 6, I don't think I read this, did I? It says, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It's not on the screen, because I didn't give it to those guys. But it says, always full of grace. Let your conversation be salty, so you may know how to answer everyone. Because people are looking for answers, and if our life doesn't show it, they're not going to be too impressed with it. As believers, we cannot do what the world does. So then he says, let me put it another way. And now we'll go to the light one. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be open by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So he calls us light of the world. He calls us salt. He calls us light. He says you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. A lamp for all to see. And I like what he says. We're going public with this. This is nothing to be kept a secret. We need to go public with this. We need to be salty where there needs to be some flavor out here. We need to make a difference by spicing up the atmosphere. Just like a big city cannot be avoided, easily seen from far away. Always like it when I come over the hill from Eindhoven and you drop down in the valley, I can see Maastricht, you know, and at Christmas time you see the big Ferris wheel on the Freihof and that sort of thing. But cities can be seen from a distance, and our faith in Jesus should be hard to avoid by people when we come in contact with them. You know, Jesus says, I make you to be a reflection. Do you think I want you to be hidden? You're to reflect me. You're to be my light reflected. You know, when Jesus was on earth, if you want to meet with Jesus, we talked about this in Drawing Near. If you want to meet with Jesus, if it was today, I mean, you'd have to get on a plane. You have to fly to Tel Aviv. Then you'd have to catch a train or a bus. Then eventually you'd have to catch a camel. Then you'd have to walk a ways. And then when you finally got to where Jesus was, you'd see crowds of thousands of people around. Then you have to take a number. Don't you love that? 2051. You know? Is there a donor kebab stand? I mean, you know. But we don't have to do that now because the Holy Spirit is here for us. And people, if they wanted to see the light, they had to go to Jesus. But now we're that reflection, that light, wherever we live, all around the world. That's what's so cool about this church, International Church. We have almost 60 nations that have come since we started. And there's like a little over 200 in the whole world or something like that. We can be a light in the whole world. Jesus was in one place at one time when he was a man and he was flesh. But now, through us, he can be everywhere. Here's what Jesus said about himself in John 12, 46. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. We're reflection. The light that shines in the darkness. You know, it's like the moon, right? You understand? At night, when you have a full moon, it can actually illuminate the place almost good enough where you can play volleyball or something like that outside. But you understand the moon has no light of its own, right? It's just a reflection of the sun. It just bang, like a mirror. That's exactly what Christ is referring to in us. We need to be that light that's coming from him to other people. The reflection of his image in us. Light has a threefold nature. Natural light, like out there. artificial light, like these bulbs, and then there's the spiritual light, which is Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus is the Word. The Bible says the Word is light. And he's given us the privilege of being called lights. Jesus is making some really strong points there in the Scriptures. He's saying that people need to taste Jesus through the salt of our lives. That's one point. And he's saying that he has appointed us to be messengers of hope. People need to taste Jesus through the salt in our lives. We cannot be like the world if we want to keep our position in him. That's one of the biggest lies the enemy has ever created. Oh, you can go to church, but you don't have to change. You can accept Christ, but you don't have to change. You could be just like the world, and you can smell like the world. You can look like the world. You can therefore be the world. Just like he told Eve, Christ didn't really say, you can't eat of that, did he? It's the same trick he still pulls. And I'm telling you, it will not work when Christ comes back for his people. It won't be good enough. Salt that loses its savor is just like Lot's wife. We're to go public as lights in a dark world. We cannot be secret Christians, but we need to be open books. The Bible says that we're open books, known and read by all men. People know who you are by the way you live. Your friends can tell me all about you. If I go to one of your friends and they wouldn't know me from beans, I could say, hey, tell me about so-and-so here. Tell me about John Acuna. Oh, there he is. There's John. So what's he like? What does he like to do? Where does he like to hang out? Who are his best friends? Boom, 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 boom. I could find out all kinds of stuff because you would tell me what you really know about John Acuna. Our reflection needs to reflect him more than reflects anything. The book of Revelation gives a message to the seven churches there, and seven types of churches. And they're also given as an encouragement, they're given as discipline, and also as a warning for us today, where we're at. It lays out what Jesus values in his body of believers. And what he likes and what he dislikes. And through the ages, we've seen the rise and fall of churches throughout the ages. Civilizations, churches, the rising and falling. But there are distinguishable patterns that we can see that Christ is referring to. And there's one church in particular that I think fits well with the world we live in today. And that's the church in Laodicea, because they had lost their saltiness. It says in this, right to Laodicea, the angel of the church, God's yes, or amen, in some versions, this is the message, the faithful and accurate witness, the first of God's creation, says, Christ, he says, I know you inside and out and find little to my liking. You're not cold. You're not hot. Far better to be either hot or cold. You're stale, you're stagnant, you make me wanna vomit. Keep going, please. You brag, I'm rich, I got it made, I need nothing from anyone. Oblivious that, in fact, you are a pitiful, blind beggar, threadbare, homeless, and here's what I want you to do. So he says, here's how to fix it. He says, buy your gold from me, gold that's been through refiner's fire. Now, how many knows he's not talking about the price of gold today, which is way too expensive? He's talking about the riches of a life that's changed in him. Exchanging your filthy rags for his garment of light. He's changing all of your crud for all of his holiness. He says, buy from me gold that's been through the fire. In other words, been purified. Then you'll be rich. Buy your clothes from me, clothes designed in heaven. You've gone around half naked long enough. And buy medicine for your eyes from me so that you can really see. He says, let me open your eyes. So the people I love, I call to account. In other words, he disciplines. He said, prod and correct and guide so that they'll live at their best. Up on your feet then, about face. Run after God. Look at me. I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear me, call and open the door. I'll come right in. I'll sit down to supper with you. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I have conquered, took the place of honor at the right side of my Father. That's my gift to conquerors. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. Wow. That's Christ's message to us today. Get up on your feet. He says, run after me. He said, trade in your crud for the gold, the truth. Exchange your dirty clothes for the clean ones that I want to put on you. Be washed with me. Be cleansed. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's not talking to the guys over at the bar. He's talking to the church. Do you get the difference? And can you hear the Holy Spirit crying out those words today? I mean, can you feel that? Is there something in your heart that when you read that, just kind of goes, chink? It's like, yeah. Maybe you can say, yeah, that's me. I need to trade in this stuff for the gold. I need to get the real clothes he's talking about. I need ointment for my eyes that I can really see plainly the truth. I need ears that will allow me to really understand what's going on. What he's getting across here is desperately needed today. You know, maybe we could be as guilty as Lot's wife. I'm sure she would have said, sure, I'm a believer, but salt turned to a pillar. You know, are we happy with our pitiful juggling act, you know, where we try to juggle our complacent and compromised, saltless lifestyle in the world we live in? You know, juggling back and forth. Or maybe it's time to remove the stagnation, the staleness that's in our life. Some of us would say, you know, I kind of do this Christian thing, but I'm not really into it. I don't get much out of it. Well, that's because you're not investing much in it. The Bible says, stand up and run. Run to it. Trade your stuff in, the stuff that's not working, because it won't work. Trade in your fool's gold for the real gold. Trade in your designer jeans for clothes from heaven. He's saying, this is the stuff that matters. He says, can you hear me knocking at the door? Father, I thank you for your love, for your power, for your concern for us, for your discipline, for your prodding. I thank you, Father, you meddle with our lives. You mess with our lives. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you that you don't let us stay in our pitiful messes that we so often find ourselves in, but you're constantly reaching down and say, grab my hand, get up, run to me. Get up, run to me. You never say, go away, I'm tired of you. You say, get up and run to me. And that's what you were saying to the church in Laodicea, and that's what you're saying to us today. I don't know where you find yourself in all of this, and I don't know what God is speaking to you, and he may be speaking something to you entirely different than anything you've heard today. I don't know. But I do know this. That when God speaks to your heart, the most important thing you can do is say yes. The most important thing you can do is just to respond. The most important thing you can do is to receive the discipline of a father that cares enough to discipline. The most important thing you can do is to say, Lord, make me salty again. Because this is what you've called me for, isn't it, Lord? That my influence might be for you, that the reflection of you in my life would be obvious to all that can see it. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, Lord. Let my light shine in such a way that people are attracted, that my faith in you would be contagious, that my faith in you would be infectious, that people would look at it and they would say, I want what that person has. God, would you do that for us today? While we're here in God's presence, can you just take a minute and just respond?
to what the Holy Spirit is doing? That private message that he just spoke into your heart a second ago, that you know he did, now it's up to you to respond. This is the key. Are you willing to acknowledge that he is speaking to you and that things can get different? And that you can be the influencer he wants you to be. Regardless of what you think about yourself, your limitations, your personality, all that kind of stuff that we self-judge ourselves, that's not the important thing. The important thing is that we respond. God will take your humility and he'll give you the ability if you're humble. He doesn't need your ability, he needs your humility. He needs your honesty, your obedience, and your love. If God's speaking to you in any way, just raise your hand right where you're at or stand right where you're at. We're going to pray together as a church. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're raising your hand, just stand right where you're at. There's several here, and there should be more, I think. Some of us have been too busy in the juggling act, trying to balance the world with our spiritual life. We're saying, well, this is what I do here and this is what I do there. No, that's wrong. Who you are in Christ is who you are all the time. Not just on Sundays, not just when you open the Bible, but the way you are every day of the week. Father, you see these people that are standing. If you haven't stood yet and the Holy Spirit's spoken to you, please stand. Don't be like Lot's wife who had to turn and look at Sodom. Just respond to what God is doing in your life. I beg you. Father, you see those of us who are standing, me included, Lord. Because none of us are good enough, Lord. Lord, I ask that you make us salty. Father, that let our savor not be lost. Father, we want to fight against the bacteria of sin and decay in this world, and it will not happen if we're just part of the decay program. We want to be different. Holy Spirit, we ask that you take us today. Especially these that you see standing before you, God, and that you would restore that savor. Father, just like it said in the church of Laodicea, get up on your feet, run after me. Get up on your feet, run after me. Father, I pray that you place such a hunger in their hearts to want to know you so much more that, Father, nothing will satisfy them like their desire to run after you. Father, put within us such a deep longing and such a deep burden for the deep things of God, to know you more, to know you in such a way that our life would become so intimate with you that people would literally, when we'd walk in a place, people would feel your presence. Why? Not because we're so great, but because you need to be shown to this world. You are the salt. You are that light. And as we walk into those places, let us, Father, be a tenderizer of men's souls. Whether it be the classroom or the job or the family or the neighborhood or the club or the restaurant or wherever we go at, Father, the people will feel your presence in our life because we are ones that have stood up and said, I'm running after you. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Those of you that are standing, would you just lift your hands up? Matter of fact, let's all stand. Some of you just need to stand anyway. But if you agree with these that have already been standing, just lift your hands to heaven. And would you just begin to ask him to just put a new longing in your heart? And that spirit of religion that we kind of contend to gravitate to would just kind of fall away like bad bacteria. And that spirit of Christ, that grace of God that comes down and touches man, that Christian spirit would begin to well up within us. And we would see the higher calling in which he's called us, the ministries that he's called us to. And that, Father, that our life can make a difference. It's not insignificant. We can be an influencer in the name of Christ if we'll be salty. Just begin to ask him to make you saltier. Begin to ask him to put within your heart a spirit to run after him and to not give up. Begin to ask him to use you in such a way that other people would see him in you daily. Little ways, medium ways, big ways if you get the privilege, but they all count. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, begin to ask him. Just begin to ask him. Drown out my voice if you would. Just begin to ask him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.